Hey everyone, it's Tim Villegas with the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education, and you are listening to or watching Think Inclusive, our podcast that features conversations with people doing the work of inclusion in the real world. I'm in the middle of running errands out on the town in Marietta, Georgia, and I'm headed to a record store right now. I think it's called CD Warehouse. It's where I like to get vinyl records because they're pretty, you know, they're pretty inexpensive. They usually have some good deals. Why am I going to a vinyl record store? Well, because this week's guest is in a band. His name is Alan Cortes, and he's in a band called Reynolds. That's R-E-Y-N-O-L-S. The band is from Argentina, and something that's really interesting about this band is that the lead singer and the front man for Reynolds is a man with Down syndrome. His name is Miguel Tomasin. This rock group is like experimental rock, like really out there, noisy, really creative. It might not be your cup of tea, but when I heard about Reynolds and that they've been a band for 30 years, I thought this was something that y'all needed to know about. So, headed to the record store right now, gonna see if I can pick up some new vinyl for my collection. Yo. All right, so before I go in and check out the vinyl selection at CD Warehouse, I wanted to tell you about our sponsor for this season, which is IXL. IXL is a online teaching and learning platform for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. It's a platform that a lot of teachers use to customize the learning of their students and to kind of keep track of where they are with certain standards. So if that sounds interesting to you, go to IXL.com/inclusive. That's IXL.com/inclusive. All right, I'm gonna go in to CD Warehouse and check out the selection. And when I come back, we'll wrap things up and send you off on your way. Okay, see you on the other side.
Alan Cortes, welcome to the Think Inclusive podcast.
Hello, and thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. I'm really interested in how the band is called Reynolds. Did I hear that it was first named after Burt Reynolds?
Well, in the old years, it used to be the Burt Reynolds Ensemble. Uh-huh. That was the first name, but with the years they just went straight into Reynolds. I'm just Reynolds.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out a way to describe Reynolds to our audience. So our audience is mostly educators, teachers who are in schools. Some are special education teachers, some are general education teachers. A lot of them are interested in disability rights and inclusion. When I first heard about Reynolds, I had no idea the band existed at all. But what struck me was that your band has been around for decades and that one of your main band members, Miguel, has Down syndrome. You're from Argentina. So I'm wondering if there's an easy way for you to explain, how would you describe Reynolds?
Well, it's very difficult to describe it. I mean, Roberto Durazo, who is the other YouTube player, who unfortunately is ill today because he was supposed to also join, but he quit fever. And he once said that Reynolds is like a jet engine. So, you know, that might be one way of describing it, because it's like something that allows you to travel and to go to different places. So it might be a jet engine in one way. And in the other way, well, of course, it's about this whole process playing with Miguel, who is a very great musician and very special. But we never know what is happening. It's completely improvised. So that's the... I mean, it's not that we are trying Miguel to play what we want. It's just a flow, which is our with music, which is like completely unpredictable, but at the same time, it's completely great. So it's something very unique in that.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that description. How did you first meet Miguel and know that you wanted to start a band or make music with Miguel?
Well, she came to the Academy, or Music Academy, we were working in 1993, back in 1993, and he was first asking for drums lesson, but it was like an instant connection. What Miguel said to Roberto the first time he met him was like, he presented himself like, I'm a very famous drummer. And in a way, he said it in a very non-pretentious way, and he was right. He's now quite famous because of his work. He's been simply working for all his years. That started, and we realized it was something really unique. The connection, it made us invent ourselves as musicians. And I think that's one of the most important things that we have playing with Miguel.
I was reading this article in the New York Times that they wrote about you, and I'll definitely link it in the show notes. That's a fantastic article. I think they did a great job. But they said that I think it was one of your first shows, and was it his father that came up after the show? And you thought, I don't think he's like, this is it. Like, this is the end of Reynolds. Like, because it was so unpredictable and loud. And you thought that maybe this wasn't going to continue. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, he was also, we could talk about Jorge Terracin. He unfortunately passed away in 2004. But he was a great guy, Jorge Terracin, Miguel's father. And he was not especially interested in rock music or loud rock or freeform music. But I don't know, he was really interested in having his son being able to be happy, and he didn't know anything about his music, and it was like very free form, little bit weighed out, free. Neil was really enjoying it, so he said like something like, "I don't know anything about his music, but if Megan is happy, he's through the band." And no, that's really great, because I mean, he was always very supportive, so I think he always been super grateful about Miguel's family support for the band, because if not, it was not possible to have seen. I mean, we know it's very supportive, and also his mother met, and now Juan Mario, his brother, and also his family. And it's great. They've been so supportive.
Yeah. I'm wondering, and I know we have some clips from Miguel, and we'll go ahead and play that later. But first, I want to know if you know anything about, in the New York Times article, it said something about his parents schooling him because the schools were not educating him the right way. Is that correct?
Well, I think mostly be one thing, because Miguel, when he met us, he was ending school. You know, when they end they don't have a proper secondary school or primary. But there's Melbourne where they just have to end. And that's a big problem, because most of people with Down syndrome and disabilities, they have to decide what to do. And there are very few employment works. So it's difficult for them to find activities, or, I mean, you can, but it's like an effort for a family to say, okay, what's next? And his father was ending his school, and he wanted Miguel to do something, to be active. And Miguel was really into music, and I think he came to the right place. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
We just felt that he was like super talented as a musician. And I don't know. I mean, we've been playing more than 30 years now. So I think it was the right place.
Yeah. Another thing that I realized was how you first got recognition when you started playing for the television show, when you became the house band. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Like, what was the transition from just playing shows and then becoming a regular band on TV?
It was very unpredictable in all senses. I mean, we were not expecting that, but we got first an interview on national TV and this medical TV show that made us this interview. And the guy was a very important figure, one of the doctors, the main doctors in Argentina TV of all times. He was there in the TV, medical TV in the 60s, and he has been forever there. And he proposed us to be, after the interview, he proposed us to be the house band of the medical show. So we were playing live. This was in 1998 in Argentina national TV. At that time, it was called ATC. Now it's the Channel 7. So we played really live, like David Letterman's house band for yeah. medical TV that was in the afternoon, 3 to 4, 2 to 3, and Argentinian TV. So Miguel was really playing that. You can check that on YouTube. There are some clips of Reynolds playing live in the TV show.
Yeah.
And it was a big training for us to play there because we had to play every day. And Miguel was doing it really well. I mean, I think he's the first person, and from what we've been trying to research, and there's no other person with disability we've noticed the beam thing in the national TV regular show, Monday to Friday. Ever.
Yeah.
That's something.
It's something, yeah. About having Miguel part of your band was... Did you run up into any barriers going and playing shows or developing an audience with having a member with Down syndrome? Was that a barrier at all for you?
I mean, for us, it was not a barrier in terms of, I mean, we always been thinking about his ability, not his disability. I mean, we always felt that he was a great musician and great player. And we just said, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Start from there and that's it. But on the other hand, it's true that we had some resistance, some point and critics, you know, like even people saying horrible things about the Baron or even us or even Miguel, which is worse. But I mean, of course, you can like or dislike the band, but to think badly about the whole process, that's something beyond. I think you can, if you don't like the band, it's right. Perfect. I mean, you can just listen to other bands. Just to think horrible things about why we are playing together, that's other level. And we always wanted to protect Miguel because he's a great player. So we are trying not to expose him to all these aggressions. But there are some aggressions. I mean, we have to fight against that. But I think nowadays it's very little, but we're still getting some... We've normally been getting a lot of recognition and love from other people, but also you have some percent of ugly comments. The same.
Sure.
We are still fighting them.
Yeah. I see that as a parallel to sometimes families who have children with disabilities and people say, well, you know, they can't do that. Like, they can't play music or... They can't try out to be in this theater program or they can't work the job that they want to because they're disabled. And if they do happen to have any sort of recognition, then the criticism is like, well, that's fake. You know, you're making it happen when it really shouldn't happen. And so I see that parallel, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That's what we need to fight in a way, because you might like the way things or not. He has his own voice, but the most important thing for us is that Miguel has his full personality. And, you know, for experimental music, freeform music, that's the main thing. He has his own voice. It's like very personal. And then you can have a lot of other voices more well-trained or whatever, but it's not sounding like him. Also, Miguel is like inventing his own language. He's not always speaking even in Spanish. So that's quite unique. And you might be able to. I mean, it's rather easy listening to music. You really need to realize this guy's inventing a lot of things there. And that's the great thing about it. If you want easy listening, you should know listen to some other music. It has a value. You know, it has an artistic value and a poetic value. And that's why we definitely took the responsibility to realize the best thing for the band was to just put Miguel in the front and say, we are following you. Robert, yeah. You have to do what, we are not saying you to what to do. It's just, we want to flow with your, with all this stuff. And he understood perfectly that. And that's the way we've been going for more than 30 years.
It's unbelievable. It is not the music, and I can definitely appreciate the artistic value and the contribution that Reynolds has made to music. It is not easy to listen to, but I think it's worth listening to. You know what I mean? And that's someone who is a musician and someone who likes all different kinds of music. I think that it's probably, I wouldn't say that it's like accessible or pop music or anything like that, but it's something that you'd want to like sit with and really absorb. And kind of what you were saying, you know, a lot of it is improvised. And so it's really just energy that you're listening to, just wild energy.
Definitely. It's like you need to get into that zone and then you need to get out from the conventional zone. You know, that's exactly what happens to us, because it took us some time to realize why it was so incredible what Miguel was doing. It's like ours. It's not a very easy going thing. It's very deep. So you need to maybe listen it like 1, 2, 3, 4. And maybe if you're listening 10 times, you start realizing, oh, there's something else. There's nothing wrong about this. It's completely something moving in a different way. So that's the thing. It's like, that's why it's so special, because it has its own value. And it's not easy listening, but I think it's something. I mean, it takes me, it requires some energy. It's like a good film is not like a blockbuster thing. It's this kind of cinema that you need to just enter the film, and it requires energy, and it requires you get out from your standard zone of perception and you can go somewhere else. So it requires something, but when you get it, I think it's highly rewardable, because I mean, it's like you're getting something else from what Miguel has to say.
Yeah, there's a phrase in the United States or in English, presume competence. And what it means generally is, specifically when we're thinking about people with disabilities, is that rather than look at a person like Miguel or anyone with a disability and assume that they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they want. But to automatically presume that they do know what they want, they can do what they want and achieve their dreams, learn what they want. It's kind of like when, here's the story that you said, when Miguel came and said, "Hey, I'm a famous drummer." And that some people could have been like, "No, no, no, no. You don't know how to play the drums. Let me teach you the right way to play." But instead, what you did is you're like, "Yeah, you're a famous drummer. Let's go."
Definitely. But also it's kind of, you know, that's why art and music is like your right spot for this, because we want Miguel to be Miguel. There's nothing fake about that. It's like his own expression. So we are giving, of course, we had to deal with the logistics and everything and just set up with Grand Prix or whatever. But in terms of expression, it's what he has to bring. And that's completely real. You cannot make anything fake about that. It's real energy that is coming out from there.
Yeah. Do you have any memories or stories of things that stick out with you with playing with the band? There's one thing that I read about, which was your concert for Plants. Is that right?
Yes, but I mean, all those years, it was a big shock for us to work with Miguel, because we were in our 20s, I was in the university, and Roberto was painting. We didn't want to make commercial music or mainstream music. We were just searching for something else.
Sure.
We started talking with Miguel, and we were working a lot to get some freeform stuff, trying to get out from the conventions to get something else. But for Miguel, it was so easy always. So it was super easy to get out from the, because he was like always saying something. I mean, I could tell you a couple of things that Miguel was saying on those years that are kind of shocking for us. Like, for example, we asked him, like, what came first, the egg or the chicken? And what Miguel says was, the cock. So,
yes.
We asked, Miguel, what's there in the moon? And Miguel answered, a screw and a chamomet tape. So we had this kind of dialogues that were completely unbelievable. He was so, so thinking, saying things that, so just like, it's just the thing that he was always not trapped in any convention in this artistic side. But you asked about something specific. What was your question?
I just wanted to know if you had any particular memorable stories about you playing together. And I referenced the concert for Plants, but we don't have to talk about
The concert for Plants was also part of the process, because we made a record without a record. So it has no record in physical form. And also we presented the record for Plants, but it was the whole process of trying to get out of the conventional things that a band should do. We can play for Plants, not for humans. You can have a record without a record. It was the whole process of writing ideas, talking with Miguel, and having these dialogues that I told you. I was in that level, kind of amazing in terms of the inspiration.
Yeah. Is the band your full-time job right now, or is it something else?
Well, the economic situation in Argentina is very complicated now. But we've been not expecting to be a commercial band. We are very happy with what we are doing as a band, that we are not really expecting to live with the incomes of the band. We are working a lot, and we are not able to play the shows very often, because nowadays we are living very far away from Buenos Aires. It's in the south, in Patagonia, in Rio Gallegos. So we are just meeting these days. Unfortunately, very few times that the band is still active. So it's we talk with Miguel. Actually, we can listen a little bit to Miguel, Rocky's voice.
Yeah.
The first clip.
Let's do that. I think I have to share my screen here. Share sound.
Los Reyes son a los 10 años, no, a los 10 años tocó la banda. Hace muchos años. yo era, chico, tenía 55 años. Yo a veces yo toco.
Okay. So he was saying something interesting, that is that he actually started playing drums when he was 3 years old. And that's completely true, because there's a photo I can send you, and it's possible to find it online. But he's playing in a toy drum kit when he was 3 years old. So that's another incredible thing, is like once Miguel said that he started the band in 1967, but I was born in 1972, so he started the band even before we were born. But also, he was talking about his ability and his connection with the drums in different ways.
Yes. All right. I've got two more clips. Let's go ahead and play those to you.
Yeah, well, we can play the second and leave the third for the end, because it's like kind of a goodbye or something.
Okay. Sounds good. Here we go.
Yo tocaba piano, guitarra, batería, teclado, batería, pastillos. Piano toco.
Yeah. Here he's talking about, because he started playing the drums, and then he started playing a lot of other instruments. And now we normally change on stage. It's like going from one place to another. So he starts playing drums, and then he might change to the keyboard. So he was saying, I'm playing keyboard, a guitar, and he's playing a harmonica, blues, everything. So he has been expanding his own ability and singing, of course, and inventing his own words and lyrics and language and melody. So it's kind of interesting factor.
Nice. That I think lately that your latest album was a collaboration, right? Between another band.
Yeah, I think I sent you some tracks. Our last album is the Acid Mother Dreidels Volume 3, and it is a collaboration with a Japanese band. We're recording in a big studio here in Argentina. And there's even a film about that, the third volume of collaboration with the Japanese guys. And it's now out on BHF Records in USA. It was also very interesting the way the Japanese guys interacted with Miguel. I mean, there's a film about that. We can send you the film if you want to project it in your area. It would be nice, because it's a very nice film. It has been in some festivals in USA, in Europe as well. But we are always happy to send the film for our people.
Yeah.
It's a nice connection. Because, of course, Japan and Argentina have very different language, but at the same time, music is a language. The film is showing that in a way.
Where would you say, like, if somebody wanted to listen to Reynolds, like, where would they start?
Well, that's a difficult point. I mean, there's a very nice box set that is like 6 CDs and 1 DVD that is called Minexio Emanations. There was released in Norway, but that's a lot of stuff there. But also, we have in United States, we have this Peloto Cabra Munsaolde on Color Music. That is a nice album also. And in Spain, we also have a recent Minexio Burrito Snow Hit in Beat Generation. And this Atom Arrange Volume 3. There's a lot of music out there, so you can check it even on YouTube and Spotify. There's not a lot, but there's something. And I think there's
Okay. Yes. I will put some of those links in the show notes. As we wrap up, I wanted to ask, who would you say is a musical influence? I know that's hard to answer that question, but if you could boil it down to one or two artists, who would you say?
For me, it's very important, especially the music made by native ethnic groups in Argentina. Each ethnic group has a special native music, but I'm very inspired by native music by different ethnic groups from all the world. So that's a big thing. Like, a lot from, Mapuches or from a chingón, et cetera, et cetera. But from the world as well, of course, Sioux and all the ethnic groups around the world, the Mexican and Asian as well. So that's always inspiring music. And then, you know, like, of course, well, something from Sam Ra to Jimi Hendrix. I like classical music, Bach or whatever, a lot of going to that. And of course, a lot of Argentinian music like rock and jazz and free jazz, one of them, contemporary music as well. So it's like a very difficult to say, but we love a lot of music, like for Julian, if you read out, or what was very into.
Yeah.
Julian and Johnny Cash, and, you know, like a lot of great music from, you know, Beatles, and of course, et cetera. I mean, Miguel is also very fan of the Beatles. He likes really much music from the 60s, 70s, and some 80s as well.
Do you have any particular plans to play any shows in the near future?
It has been really difficult this year because it is strange that Miguel's living in the south of Patagonia. So there are no plans at the moment. We are mixing a couple of new tracks that will be coming in the future. But, I mean, we don't have... I mean, that's the thing about Rails, that it's not... As band is like not following any form of the industry or the market. So it's like whatever the bands wants to go. And that's not me, not Robert. It's like an entity. Like it's whenever it's possible, the band will ask us to play, but we don't know when.
With Fannibal Wolf.
But at the same time, we are quite active. We are always working on new things. We have an exhibition that will be in Norway. About Reynolds in Stavanger, probably in September. We had one in Oslo in February. And the same exhibition will be going to Stavanger in September. So that's great. We have new stuff that is coming in different forms. But unfortunately, not live shows. But we will play whenever possible for us. When Mina is coming to Buenos Aires, I'm sure we'll play. Because people is asking us to play. But we are... been not able to do it lately.
All right. I am wondering, can we play Miguel's last clip and then you can tell us what it says? All right, let's...
Yo había mandado mucho, 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 mucho un para España. Fuerte abrazo con todo amor que presida. That's it.
He's sending a big shook for all the audience. With a lot of love. So it's like regards for the audience everywhere.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us about Reynolds. And I'm really looking forward to spending some time with the music. I think I'm really going to enjoy it.
Miguel said one something very important that he says, voy a vivir siempre en el presente. That means I will always live in the present.
Mm.
So, you know, that's something about his way of living life. And that's like kind of really deep. And it reminds me also another person that was very important for us, that is American composer Paulino Oliveros, who was dealing with deep listening and with different techniques. And she was a good friend and we made some records with her. So, living in the present.
Yes.
The aim.
That is the aim, living in the present. So, Alan, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much and keep the good work. Think inclusive.
Welcome back. It's the time of the episode where I give three reflections from our conversation and two calls to action, three for me, two for you. Let's talk about my conversation with Alan Cortes. Number one, I am just so impressed with Alan and his passion for music, and then also his dedication to letting Miguel be Miguel. And I think that was one of the big takeaways for me from this conversation, is that they really just let Miguel drive the innovation and creativity of Reynolds. Imagine if we did that with our learners with disabilities, and we really just trusted them to direct their own learning and their own life. So that's number one. And number two is, I spent some time with Reynolds music this week. I can confirm that it's hard to listen to. There were some times I really found a groove and kind of something to attach myself to, but you know, it's not for everyone, but you know, if that is of interest to you, I'll make sure to have all of those links in the show notes. And then number three, life is just better with music. I didn't end up getting any new vinyl at CD Warehouse, but what I wanted to show you was, this is one of my favorite bands. I'm holding the vinyl record by the Flaming Lips, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots. This is one of my favorite albums. I just love everything about this. I'm going to put this on as we wrap up the episode. But I'd love to know, as a call to action, I'd love to know what you like to listen to. Tell me either in the comments in Spotify. You can email me, tvagus@mcie.org, or you can just answer the question if we post this on social media. Let me know what you're listening to. I love to listen to new music. Number two is, try out some Reynolds. Like I said, it may not be for everyone, but you may want to just tell somebody that there is this rock group that's been around for 30 years that has a member with Down syndrome, and he's a very famous drummer. All right, time for the credits. Think Inclusive is written, edited, designed, mixed, and mastered by me, Tim Viegas, and is a production of the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education. Original music by Reynolds. Thanks to our sponsor, IXL. Learn more at IXL.com/inclusive. Thanks for your time and attention. And remember, inclusion always works.
MCIE.